Well, good evening. It is great to be back in the house of God tonight to worship Him, and I hope you had a good afternoon of relaxing, and it's good to see you here tonight. We're going to be in the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 84, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 84, verses 8 and 9. And as I said this morning, we talked about King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Tonight, we'll be talking about God as our shield. God, our shield. And I have been, over the past several weeks, save a week or two here and there with Easter and a couple other places, talking about the different names given to Christ in the Bible. I don't know if I'll continue on with that next week. We'll see where God leads. But I hope that you, if this is the last night, I'm just going to be in prayer about it. But if I don't do any more, I hope that God has spoken to you and shown you some things. I know a lot of what I've preached recently is not so much, you know, we need to change this in our life type of sermons, as it is how great God is type of sermons. But it doesn't hurt for us to have a few weeks worth of those, does it? God is great. God is great. Psalm 84, verses 8 and 9. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll read this together. Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts again tonight. And as I said, God, the names that we have studied in the past few weeks, and that we studied this morning and this evening, these are all names that signify to us words that we give to you to best describe how great you really are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are our shield. You are our hiding place. You are our shepherd and our bishop. God, you are faithful and true, the Alpha and the Omega. You are all these things that are incomprehensible for us to know as people, but yet in some way we can know them. We can understand it. We can experience how great you are. We can never fully know you, but we can know how great you are by what you put in our lives and how you make us. And God, I just pray you will mold us. You will teach us. And maybe through these studies of the different names given to you, someone has come to have a stronger relationship with you, to understand who you are in their lives. And I know that you have done that in my life, and I know you've done that in others' lives. We thank you for teaching us. And now as we go to this message tonight, I pray that you bless the reading of the Word, and that you put the words in my mouth, that I will preach what you tell me to preach, and that you will speak to every person that is in this congregation tonight. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we thank you for all you do for us, and it's all these things we ask. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Psalm 84, verses 8 and 9. You may remain seated tonight as we read. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face Thine anointed. May God bless the reading of the Word tonight. Behold, O God, our shield. Do you know what a certain English name in our English America? Do you know what name in English means shield? Anybody have any idea? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an R. Very good. The name Randall means shield, a warrior. Now that has nothing to do with the sermon other than it's just coincidental. Because by no means am I a shield. In fact, if you would have been my girlfriend in high school, you'd have found out real quickly I wasn't a shield. But anyway, and that is something sadly I realized doing my negotiations for my new car, that I still am pretty much a wimp. But I didn't fight like I should have there that day. But anyway, that's what Randall means, as ironic as it is. That's what the name Randall means, shield or warrior. And I have to say, when I first found out that that's what it meant, when I was, I don't know, a teenager, I don't remember what age I was, I didn't just find it out recently, I've known for a long time. When I found out that's what my name meant, combined with Carl, which means strong leader, I said, I don't know how on earth my parents came up with those two names for me. And, you know, in the past, in Jesus' time, in the Old Testament, you were named by what you were. I would not have been named Carl Randall in the Old Testament. I would have been named, you know, Wimpy Tuesday or whatever, because there was no way that I would have been Carl Randall. But Carl means strong leader, and Randall means shield or warrior. And I make fun of myself. I am not by any means of any stature physically. Obviously, I'm not. I mean, it wouldn't take much to take me down for anybody, male, female, or any age. But while I may not be much physically, and while I might not be too much confrontationally, because I can't stand confrontation, when it comes down to it, I am pretty stern in what I believe and pretty strong. And I think one thing I have found about myself is that I have learned to have some strength and to use strength when I need to. If I've learned nothing else in the past few years, I've learned to have strength when I need to have strength. And I've always thought about that name, Randall, that it was, even though I don't see myself as some great warrior, I've always thought, because one thing I do have personally is I do have great compassion, and I think compassion leads to someone wanting to protect others, because that is what it means, shield, warrior, protector. And it's always been a source of pride to have that name, to know it means that. I like the idea of being a shield. I like the idea of being a protector. I like the idea of being a warrior for someone. Not in a masochistic, sadistic way, but in a protection, you know, I love other people type of way. And maybe it is fitting I was given that name as a pastor to protect the people, protect my flock, if you will, and to lead you the best I can. Now, the message this morning or this evening is not about me, but to take my name and to have that name, that idea of a shield, I've always loved it, because when I think of a shield, I think of power and I think of strength and I think of protection, as I said. And shields are used in many ways, aren't they? I mean, there's many different avenues that shields can take and many different settings that they can be used in. Now, the most common way that we know is in battle. And now, not so much, I guess, today. Shields don't do a whole lot against bazookas and rocket launchers and stuff. But if you ever notice on the police on the streets when there's riots, they do have those metal shields, you know, and the little mask and the helmet. They do have shields for the rocks and the petty things that people throw in riots. And they still are used somewhat today, but not like they did in the medieval times and this back in these days. But when we think of shields, you think of battle, especially in the old times before modern weapons, of using them to fight other people, to protect yourself. That's what we think of shields to use that. And there's other ways we use shields. Medicine is a shield, isn't it? A lot of ways. I mean, if you have different medical elements and you have to take a pill to help with that, you're shielding yourself. You're protecting yourself against that disease or against whatever that problem is. Food can be a shield in the sense that hunger, gone too long, can kill you, and food shields you from that. It shields you from hunger. Shields ward things off, and also I learned being a sibling that shields can help you against your brothers and sisters. Not so much your sisters as for me, as my brother, but I learned in many situations that the couch made a pretty good shield, and you know, pot pans make pretty good shields too. But then I think I told y'all the one thing. Did I ever tell y'all about, you know, I was growing up being scared and my blanket was always my shield? I think I mentioned that one time not too long ago, that it protected me from the dark and ghosts and stuff. You know, as a little kid, not anymore. But anyway, that's funny and silly, but you know what I mean. There's many different applications for shields, but no matter what you think of and no matter how you apply it in your life, or how you define what a shield is, or what you envision a shield being. Maybe you think of the movie, well, you may not have seen 300, but you think of an old movie, a battle movie, and maybe you think of that. But no doubt in your mind somewhere when you hear the word shield, you think of protection, of strength, of absorption, warding off attacks. And definitely the job of a shield is to cover the body. I mean, that's why when we study it, you know, in Ephesians 6, it says, have the shield of faith. And it goes back to the Roman soldier, where Paul is making that correlation, that analogy of a Roman soldier using a shield in battle. Was the Roman soldier's shield would cover his whole body. It wasn't just from here to here. It was the whole body, all the way down to his feet. He could stand behind it. And it covered, and it kept the arrows away, and it kept the things that could kill away, that were harmful. It protected, it secured the vital areas on the soldier, his vital organs and the things that punctured could kill him. It barricaded him from harm. That's what a shield does. It barricades from harm. It wards off. It secures areas. And that's how we use shields. That's what we think of shields. And it protects the person. It keeps them alive. You know, a helmet can be seen as a shield, or just a regular, you think of something you put in front of you. That's why they're there. And even again, in modern times, you know, you think of even lawnmowers. They have the little deck and the shrouds and all that go over. Those are shields from the blade. I mean, it's to keep you from getting your foot cut off. It protects you. It wards it off. It keeps you from harm. And in a sense, they provide strength, don't they? A shield provides strength. And really, when you think about what a shield does, because we all know, I mean, you take a metal shield that's stout, it'll take some blows, but eventually it's going to be punctured. They're going to get through it. And if nothing else, a shield, it does protect, but I think in some ways it psychologically gives that strength, which psychological strength can be defined as what? In my mind, it can be defined as courage. I think that shields give courage, don't they? You know, let's put it in a modern-day analogy. Let's put it in something we know I love that really applies to shields. Football, right? How many of you, well, first of all, how many of you are going to get on a football field? Not me. I mean, I wouldn't, even with an Iron Man suit, which, by the way, well, anyway. Well, I wouldn't get out on a football field with iron and steel around me. I wouldn't. There's no way I'd go up against those guys. But you go watch a football game, professional or whatever. Okay, college, that's what y'all like around here. If you go to watch the Bulldogs play or watch them on TV, you don't see anybody, some idiot out there running around with a T-shirt and shorts on and flip-flops. They're not running around like that. They got their helmets on, their shoulder pads on, their knee pads, their thigh pads. There are other pads that protect other parts of their bodies and things like that. And yes, I do know all those. I did play football a couple of times, believe it or not. But they put those pads on to protect themselves. They're not going to run around out there with everybody else wearing them, and they're not. That would be foolish. That would be deadly. They wear those things for protection. And it gives them courage. I know that if I hit this guy going full speed, the pads are going to take that blow. And it's a psychological strength that does protect physically, but it's courage, it's strength. It gives you that feeling that I can withstand. And it doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter how big the guy is. It doesn't matter what's opposing me. I have a shield. I can stand. And a shield protects. It takes the blow. It absorbs the blow. Any damage done is done to the shield first. And it might hurt you, but... And I can tell you, when I did play football, you hit somebody with head to head. You ever hear the thing, the cliche, knock them silly or whatever? There were a couple of times I felt that way. I remember one time a guy hit me, and I don't know how I lived through it, but I hit him, and I kind of went black for a couple seconds. But you know what I realized now? I didn't realize it too much then. Was I didn't have that helmet on? You think it hurt then? Imagine what it would have felt like without it. I mean, it took 75 to 90% of the blow from me. I might take some, but it absorbs a lot of that. The deadly impact is what the shield takes. It protects you, and that's what our coaches told us. The helmet will protect you. The pads will protect you. Shields are there to protect. And so we take that idea of the shield, the strength, the stoutness of a shield, and the courage that it imputes within you to have it, to hold it, that idea of the shield that, you know, like I said, impenetrable, you take that and you apply it to God. And that's what the writer of this psalm does. In verse 9 of Psalm 84, "Behold, O God, our shield." He applies the shield to God. He makes that metaphor. That God is our shield. God protects us. He covers us. And in the same way that a shield covers your body, God covers our bodies, doesn't He? He covers us, and one way He covers us is from our sin. He takes away that sin. He abolishes that sin. He removes that sin. He watches over our lives. He keeps that vigil over us. And He covers us in the same way the shield wards off and barricades. God protects and removes and barricades us from sin. That if we will believe in Him, if we will trust in Him, if we will seek Him, if we will rely on Him in our lives, the Bible tells us to, that the, you know, the Bible says in James that the devil is like a prowling lion, seek it who it may devour. And if we believe in God and we trust in Him, we will overcome that. God, if we trust in Him, will cover us, protect us, remove that sin, barricade us from that sin. He protects who we are. Not only does He keep us alive, and I do think God keeps us alive physically, and I know our bodies are corrupt, we will die, and I know we have pains and sickness and things like illnesses that can take our lives, but let's face it, we all can account many times in our lives where we may be dying later, but maybe there are times in your past you see where God protected you physically, kept you out of a bad car wreck, or healed a problem that you had, and saved you and helped you in your life. God supports us. God strengthens us. He will not let us be destroyed. He keeps us from that. He protects us from that. He wards off the attackers. And in a sense, He takes the blow. And in the same way that the shield takes the blow for us, so God takes the blow for us. That pain and that price of sin that was meant for us, that we were supposed to pay, that we were supposed to take, the pain of sin that was supposed to come our way, that we were supposed to pay for, Christ paid for that. When He died and He gave His life on the cross, He took that sin. He took that pain. He paid that price. He absorbed our pain. He absorbed our sin. We are safe. We are covered. We are sheltered in Him. He is our shield. He is that fortress that we run to. He is where we can find safety, where we can relax, where we can hide. He is, God is our shield. But then we go on and we look at the rest of verse 9. It says, look upon the face of thine anointed. Look upon the face of thine anointed. You see, we understand that God, not only does He protect us, not only shield us, but we are His anointed people. That is, He has chosen us. We belong to Him. He loves us. You know, you protect and shield those things that you love. I know the other day when my mom and dad and I were out, I don't remember where it was now, we saw a bird. I guess we were here in Adel somewhere on the way out of Adel. But we saw a bird chasing a squirrel, you know, pecking at it. I saw it out here one day at the church. Well, two birds, one was chasing another. But one of the bird was chasing the squirrel. You know, the squirrel's running away, getting pecks, you know, at the backside, and probably was hurting. But my dad said the only reason a bird ever do that is because something's messing with its nest. And that squirrel probably got in there and saw the egg, thought it was a big old coconut or whatever, and wanted some of it. And the bird said, you're not going to get it, and started fighting him off. He shielded his babies, or she shielded the egg, shielded his young, took care of it. Now, had it been a lizard egg or, you know, a piece of candy or something, it wouldn't have cared. It would have just let it have it. But it was his. He cared. That bird cared about what it was protecting. And it wasn't going to let the squirrel get it. It warded it off. It fought it off. It went after it because this was its anointed. This was its children. And he was going to protect it. She was going to protect those children with all she had. And that's what God does for us in the same way that God loves us, that we are His children, that we are His anointed, that we are who He loves. And the evil one, Satan, as I said, he is that prowling lion. He is out to get us. He is out to devour us. And we have to understand that Satan doesn't just want us to lose. He doesn't just want us to be unhappy. He wants to destroy us. It's not enough for him that we mess up. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to end our lives. He can't stand us. But God will not allow that. God shields us. as those arrows fly and as the arrows of sin and temptation come our way, the Bible does tell us in Ephesians 6 to stand behind the shield of faith, to have faith in God. And one of my professors in theology in college, Dr. Richards, Wiley Richards, said that the shield of faith, that it's not so much that faith is the shield, but it's knowing what rock to hide behind. And that is that we have faith in God, but faith isn't necessarily the shield itself. Faith just says, I need to hide behind God. God is my shield. Faith is not my shield. Faith is the reasoning that I need to get behind the shield, that I need to stand behind the shield. And God is the shield that covers us, that protects us, that wards off the enemy, that absorbs the pain, absorbs the sin and temptation, that barricades us from what is evil and what is unholy and unjust, that which would seek to destroy our lives. God protects us from those things. We are His anointed. He is our shield. Do you want strength in your life? Do you need strength in your life? Do you need to hide behind the shield? Do you need to take the time to realize that yes, God needs to protect me because I can't protect myself. I can't use the things of the world to protect me. I've tried counseling and I've tried this and I've tried that and they're good. Maybe they're helpful in some ways, but in the end, it is God that will protect me from sin. God that will protect me from evil. God that will keep me holy. God that will keep me righteous. God that is my shield. God is our shield. God is our leader. We need to learn to hide under the shield. You know, there's nothing wrong with hiding. There's nothing wrong with seeking protection. You wouldn't go into a battlefield without protection, without armor. You would put it on to protect yourself, to save your life, if possible, with using that. It is no different in our spiritual lives. You wouldn't go on a football field, like I said, with a t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. You'd go with padding so you wouldn't get injured. In the same way, you wouldn't go out to the world spiritually, you know, without knowing God, without being behind God, without walking with God, with thinking you can take on the evil one on your own. We cannot. We need to take the shield of God with us. Oh God, our shield, look upon the face of the anointed. Look at us. See that we need you. See that we want you. And may we need him and want him. He is there to protect us. He is there to block. He is there to be that buffer between evil in ourselves, sin in ourselves, pain and suffering ourselves. Does that mean we will never sin? Of course not. Does it mean we will feel no pain? Of course not. But it means that God is there. When we're ready to hide behind him, he will protect us and he will love us. Are you hiding behind the shield tonight? Are you hiding under God? Is he your shield? Is he your protection? Is he your barricade? Is he your buffer? Is he the one that is protecting you? Are you choosing to hide behind him? He is there to protect you. Is he your shield? Make God hide under your shield, hide under the shield of God tonight. I want to challenge you tonight that maybe you've seen something in your life that you need to change. Maybe you see, you know, maybe you realize that, you know, I haven't gone to God like I should. I haven't been hiding behind God. I haven't let God shield me in my life from the things. I think that I can take care of my sin on my own, that I can keep out of sin, that I can fight it on my own, that I'm strong enough by myself. I don't need him. I don't need that help. I'll just go about my life and hope I do the right thing. Maybe you've lived that way and you see tonight, I can't. I can't face the evil of this world alone. I need to hide behind a shield. And maybe you see tonight, well, I know I need God. I know I need him to shield me. But even though I know I need it and even though I know I want it, I haven't been doing it. The shield's right there, but I lay it down on the ground and go out and fight anyway because I just haven't been doing it. It's not that I don't want it, don't need it. I want it, I need it, but I haven't been taking it up. I haven't been placing my faith in him like I need to be. And that's why all these things, why I'm sinning and if I'm in temptation, it's all going awry because I haven't been hiding under the shield. Maybe that's what you see tonight. I don't know what God is doing in your life, but I pray tonight you'll get that right with him. As we sing our invitation hymn tonight, number 165, hymn number 165, that God will speak in your life. Will you let him be your shield tonight? Will you hide under the shield of God? Father, What a great and awesome image that you are, our shield. The shield that we can carry to battle to ward off the arrows, the darts, the bullets, the things that we come to hurt, to harm, and to kill. You protect us from those things. You absorb that pain. You barricade us. You buffer us. We can hide behind you and know that you will take those pains. You will take those sins and temptations away. Remove them from us. All we have to do is have faith in you. All we have to do is hide behind the shield. God, there are so many that we call us weak, that would say we need a crutch. God, I don't propose that we need a crutch. I don't propose that we are weak. But I think rather, and more importantly, we are strong and we have a shield. Because the weak don't go to battle. They stay home. And we are not weak. We fight every day. The evil and the demons of this world, the principalities, that is what we wrestle against. That is what we face. And we fight it every day. We are not weak. But we are not strong enough on our own. We need the shield. And I pray that we will take up our shield, that we will hide behind you. You, O God, our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. Look at those of us you have saved, those you have called, those you have chosen. And may you love us and protect us as we hide behind you. And we know, God, that you faithfully will. Maybe there's someone here tonight, God, that needs to hide behind you, and I pray for them. They will come seeking you. Come seeking that salvation from the sins and temptations of life. Speak to us now as we have this time of invitation. And may God we hide behind our shield. It's all these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.